So, we're speaking on the subject again of patience, and I want to speak about something may not have touched on, and we just take it for granted, but it has to be explained. And what I want to touch on is the warfare aspect in waiting. When the scripture says that we with patience we wait for it, in Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, it says that likewise, 8:25. But if we hope for that which we see not, then we with patience wait for it. With patience, we wait for it. Now, when we are waiting for it with patience, part of the, we've said patience is not a passive word. It is an active word. And so the individuals who are waiting, or the individual waiting, is engaged in spiritual warfare during that period. And I want to show that from scripture. So you are not just waiting and being some nice guy or lady. All right, there's warfare that is involved. And we've got to understand the nature of the warfare. I have to understand the outcome of the warfare. Okay, because if you don't know the nature of the warfare, Paul said we don't just beat as one hitting the bush. We know exactly what we are going for. So there's the warfare that is involved during that time. So it tells us that, but if we hope for that which we see not, then with patience we wait for it. And we've seen that anytime this virtue called patience kicks in, it is a response, a godly response to tribulation. That's why it says the trial of your faith worketh patience. It says not only do we glory, all right, we glory in the, we rejoice, all right, in the hope of God's glory. Not only do we glory in that, but it says we glory also in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience produces character, and character will get the job done. So it's in times of tribulation that patience kicks in. All right, now quickly I'll just quote these scriptures. In Hebrews chapter 6, it tells us that we who have fled from refuge will lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. So a hope has been set before us by God as he quickens scriptures to us and creates hope and an expectation inside our hearts. And that expectation and hope has been set before us. Then in Hebrews chapter 12, still in that same book, it says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So it tells us we shall run with patience the race that is set. What's the race set before us? It's the hope that is set before us. This is the goal. I want you to run this race with patience. But prior to that, it tells us we have a great cloud of witnesses. Seeing that we have such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin that doth so easily beset, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It's Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. The race that is set. What's the race set before us? Is the hope that is set before us. But here is the point. Before I get into this. The clouds of witnesses it comes from an old terminology. That is not just saying people are fluffy. It's like how people gather, all right, back then in the Roman Empire, and they will have like gladiators that come to fight. In other words, it's telling you that you are involved in a fight. And the issue about that fight there is that you either win or, all right, when you are in the fight, somebody is not going to come out of that place, quote and unquote, alive. In other words, you are in a fight for your life. And so you've got to understand that when these tribulations begin to hit and test, you are in a fight for your life. And many people who haven't fought back, Satan wants to take away. if you get down that Hebrews there, it says, lest you be weary in your mind. If you read it on and faint. It talks about it in Hebrews. I just want to go through this because there's some I want to teach on that. But Hebrews, it says, lest you be weary and faint. Now, if you go lower to scripture, it talks about Esau, who for a morsel of meat sold his birthright. Now, Esau, we see in Genesis that he came from the field and he was faint. In other words, Satan wants to take away destiny there. You get tired, you get this, you get fed up, and he wants to snatch. The birthright is the right to be the inheritance. He wants to take the inheritance. He wants a law of exchange during that time. So you've got to understand that you are in a fight for your life. All right? And that's why the spirit helpeth our infirmities with groanings that cannot be uttered. Jesus understood that. It's the same thing he was teaching in Hebrews 12, where he says, you have not resisted sin unto the shedding of blood. In other words, when Jesus was in Gethsemane there, he resisted, he entered into it, and his sweat was as blood. That's what he's talking about. He was in agony, and the Bible says, in prayer, he prayed. So there is an element of depth of prayer with groanings that cannot be uttered, that has got to be offered up in faith during this time. Now, we have seen in Acts chapter 7, let's quickly look at this here, Acts chapter 7. So don't play around this time here. You need to spend. I remember one time someone was, I even slipped my mind, somebody told me this. It's a friend of mine. He said, and I think, if I look back now, it was the biggest test I ever had internally in Covenant, in the history of Covenant. That's in the internal dynamics of the church. This was many years ago. And this friend told me, he said, I remember, he said, you didn't talk, you didn't say anything to me, but you asked me to take you to a hotel on the outskirts of London. He said, you didn't see, it was later on I realized what was going on. And I just realized that, which was unusual for you to go and stay on the outskirts, a place where there was all of that. And you said you wanted to spend time in prayer. He said, it must have been that issue you wanted to deal with in the realm of the spirit. So we're not talking about, you know, people go through things and just keep behaving casually as though it will blow over. All right? Satan, if you just take it to blow over, he wants to blow other things away with it. There's a contest for something, and he hopes that you think it's just normal and things just blow over, so he can snatch that particular thing without you realizing it. Acts chapter 7 here and verse 17 here, the Bible tells us, but when the time of the promise drew nigh, so when the time of the fulfillment of the promise began to come. Remember, it's through faith and patience we inherit the promise. When the time of the promise drew near, which God has sworn to Abraham, and the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose that knew not Joseph. The same dealt, all right, subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young to the end that they might not live. I mean, the treatment was as bad as throwing away your child. I mean, that was how terrible it was. But that kind of treatment happened because the time of the promise that God had given started drawing near. So once the time of the fulfillment of the next phase of your life begins to draw near, all right, you just begin, for no reason whatsoever, the warfare just begins to increase. This warfare is described in Hebrews 12 as the contradiction of men. In other words, this thing, you start getting a push, you just start seeing that it's almost like a Jehoshaphat thing. Before you deal with this, this is coming at you, and that is coming at you, and this is coming at you. You are now in the birth position. Something has got to be birthed. Something has got to be born. There is the fulfillment of something. That's why it all happens. Okay? I'm not being treated right. That's not the point. The point is there is a promise. There is something. When the time begins to come, darkness sets in. Now, quickly, We see again in Matthew chapter 24. Somewhere I'm going with this. All right, Matthew 24 and verse 32. It says again, it tells us here, now, all right, now, learn this parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, he putteth forth leaves, and you know that the summer is nigh. So likewise, when you see these things, know that it is near even at thy doors. In other words, when he says the time of the promise drew near, it's so close, it's even at your doors. And we see Jesus telling the church that I will come, all right, to the door and I will knock. And if any man opens, so he's close. The time of the fulfillment of it is close. This devil, it's a time in the spirit. It's not just a normal time. We've explained this before. There are two Greek words that you can use to describe time in this realm of the spirit. There's one that talks about just time, which means what's the time? You say, well, it's 6:30 a.m., all right? Or you can describe time and say, what time is it now? So 6:30 a.m. every day of the year for 365 days. But at every 6:30 a.m., there'll be different seasons. The season from January to February that you experienced is different probably from the season that you are in now. All right? If that's the timing, which is the second one, which means when you say, what time is it? Well, what it means, what's going on? What's the season? What's going on in the realm of the spirit? All right? So that's, it's called Kairos. And so it says, you should know that you are in a Kairos here. And it says this, it is even near at your doors. Now, if we look at what Jesus said in Luke, and this is where I want to get into it, Luke 21, okay? It says, Luke 21, verse 28 to verse 31. It says, and when these things shall come to pass, shall begin to come to pass, then look up. He said this. Then look up and lift up your heads. Now note what he says there. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable, talked about the fig tree and all the trees, that when they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that the summer is nigh at hand. So likewise, he says, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Now he says, lift up your head. Now that's what I want to touch on. But he says, know it's at hand. Verily I say unto thee, this generation shall not pass away till it be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts are overcharged with surfeiting, which is overeating, gluttony, drunkenness, and cares of this life, so that day comes upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon them that dwell on the face of the earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape these things. With every temptation, there's a way of escape. And that's what he was telling the disciples. Watch and pray with me for 1 hour so that you don't fall. And they felt it wasn't necessary. So when it comes to this time here, it's a time to pray. And he says, lift up your heads. Now, because it draweth near. The Bible says the judge standeth at the door. Jesus is close to manifest himself during the time. Others may say there's a chance, but he's at the door to manifest himself. But he needs, all right, us to enter into that birth position and to enter into that place of prayer. For it tells us, all right, in Psalm 24, remember it says, lift up your heads, verse 24, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and lift up ye everlasting doors, and let the King of glory come in. So he's right there at the doors, and he says, lift up your heads. All right? Lift up. All right? Be ye lifted up here, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and let the King of glory come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. So how do we open the doors? We've taught this. How do we open the gates? Those gates are called praise. Your gates shall be opened up wide. In other words, that's why it says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. So you open up the gates for the visitation. You lift up your head. You don't allow your head to be cast down. And where it says, lift up your head. All right, lift up your head. And he says this, be ye lift up ye everlasting doors. Let the King of glory come in. So you've got to let him, as you begin to worship and praise him, that there is something, he's coming for the fulfillment of the promise. The time of the fulfillment of the promise is here. We have to get our minds renewed to dealing with crisis, that it is not trouble, but this is a time of visitation. That's why it says, count it all joy. It says, though you see him not yet, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving. So you are opening up the door, first of all, with thanksgiving and praising him, recognizing his presence. Yes, it is painful. But the sun brings heat and it brings light. I want to say this. You feel the heat, and that's what most people do, and react to the heat, but they don't embrace the light, because he is going to give you massive light during that time. So open up, let the King of glory come in. Now, what's he going to do? He's the Lord, mighty in battle. What warfare is he fighting at that particular point in time? And there's a battle that has to be won in order for all things to work together for your good, in order for things to fall into place. There is a spiritual warfare that has got to be won. So it says this here in Isaiah 42 and verse 12. It says, all right, from verse 10, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the ends of the earth. Ye that go down into sea therein, and inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness, all right, and cities thereof lift up their voice. That's what it means to lift up your head. The scripture says that there were horns, four horns, and no man could lift up his head. So it says this, lift up. All right, let them give glory. Let them declare his praise. Let the wilderness lift up their voice. The village of Kedar and inhabitants of Rong, let them sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. Then he says, the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. Remember, he's mighty in battle. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry and roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. Says in Psalm 81, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. It says this he ordained in Jacob. It was a law. It talks about a testimony in Joseph. He says, sing aloud that new song. Then he says, I will soon have subdued your enemies. So you open up the gate doors there with praise. And then he comes in. And what he wants to get involved there is traveling prayer. He talks about this. He says, I shall go forth. I've long time holding my peace. I've been still. I've refrained myself. Now I will cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains hills and dry up the herbs. I'll make rivers islands. I will bring the blind. Now, this is the purpose. To bring you, to open your own eyes. The warfare is not to kill any person. The warfare here is to open up your eyes For with every temptation there is a way of escape. Narrow is that path, few find it. It's those whose eyes are opened up. So there is a warfare. Remember, the God of this world blinds the minds of people. So he says, I will bring the blind by a way that he knew not. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them. What you're calling darkness will suddenly become light, a place filled with opportunities. Crooked things straight. These things will I do and not forsake them. They shall be turned back. They shall greatly be ashamed that trust in graven images. Hear ye deaf and look ye blind that you may see. Who is blind but my servant? Which means I need to open up their eyes. And who is deaf as he that is perfect and blind as the Lord's servant? Seen many things thou observest not, opening of ears, but thou hearest not. The Lord is well pleased. Which means if this battle is not done and this war is not waged and won within your consciousness, God will be presenting things before your eyes during that time. Opportunities, you'll be hearing things, listening to things, opportunities right all over you, and you just will not see it. And you will be making decisions that you think are intelligent decisions because they are made in blindness. So to be intelligent, if you don't have information, if you don't see anything, then what you're going to do is to the best of your own knowledge. That's to the best of your knowledge, and the best of your knowledge is darkness. It says this, who gave Jacob for his spoil and Israel to the robbers? That's what Satan wants to do. Don't just think that he's just hanging around. He wants you to be taken as a spoil of war. All right, Israel to the robbers. Did not the Lord against whom they have sinned? They will not walk in his ways and be obedient to his laws. All right, before this, he says, but this is a people robbed and spoiled. So he wants to rob you of something. They are snared in holes. They are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey and none delivereth. All right, for a spoil, he said, I cannot hear anybody saying, restore during that time. So they are going through crises. They are going through situations and they don't even understand what the season is one of warfare. Is one where you have to spend protracted amount of time in prayer. If you used to pray 30 minutes every day, you must dedicate 2 weeks to your, listen to me, it's the only way. We have to tell you the truth. The truth is you've got to extend that to an hour, to 90 minutes. If you're a 1 hour person, you have to have times you go for 3 hours. Look, I'm telling you this. That's why Jesus said, won't you tarry? He stayed there until you get a breakthrough. You keep going until you get that breakthrough there. Because what is at stake? He wants to rob, he wants to spoil. And there are many people robbed and spoiled of things. And he says, even after he says, none is even saying again to him, restore. Anytime you're going through crisis, there's something at stake. And if you don't know what that thing is, then the truth about the matter is probably it's been stolen without you knowing. I mean, what did he mean? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Why are they overcoming? If it was just as it is. Look at what Jesus said here. Let me just close it. Look at Revelation chapter 3 here and verse 20. All right, just look to show you that there's something going on that is much deeper. Verse 20, it could be your business. They'll take. A company runs into crisis. It's because some people amplify the crisis. They bring accusations. They bring all kinds of things because they want to take something. They are thieves. And many people have taken businesses. And someone just come and suggest that, well, don't you just sell off your shares, let's rebrand this whole thing, and they've snatched that thing away from the people. Look at what it says here in Revelation 3:20 here. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, he will open the door. And I will come in and will sup with him and him with him. To him that overcometh. In other words, we are coming in for warfare. It says, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me on the throne, even as I overcame and am seated. In other words, if you are defeated, you are losing something. See, I overcame, I will grant to sit with me as I overcame and I'm set at the right hand. Please, let's go back again. I mean, we can't do an exegesis, but just make the connections in your mind. He says, I overcame and then I sat here. He says, wherefore, Hebrews 12:1, seeing we're compassed with a great cloud of witnesses, there lay aside every weight the sin that does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience this race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand. That means he overcame. He said, as I overcame and I'm seated, he says, this joy that is set before you, you have to overcome to get to it. The same way I overcame and I'm at the right hand of the Father. Can't see it here. So that race with patience. He said, let us run the race with patience, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And what is the cross? For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. So there'll be contradiction, there'll be pushback that is coming. He says, despising the shame, they say all kinds of shameful things. He says, overcome that. So he's going to open your eyes to see something that will be the throne of God in that midst. Such that the stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, because there's a throne, but there's a warfare. Now, the warfare is not against people, for we wrestle not against flesh and against blood, but against principalities and against powers. But there's a warfare going on in the realm of the spirit. And as you begin to win that battle, you start seeing opportunities in the midst of it. You start seeing things you never saw before. Your eyes start getting opened. You start seeing things differently. There's an adjustment that is made. All right? You start seeing things differently. He opens up your eyes. And then again, what happens there is that now you understand it's not about these people, because people can even come under the influence of demonic forces and do what they are doing. Now, if you make the people the enemy, you've lost the warfare. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So there's a love demonstration, but you are dealing with spirits. You've got to understand this. All right? And the result is, I will lead you in a way that you don't know. I'll take you into places. I'll give you the treasures of darkness. In other words, I'll make darkness light before you. So you go into that and light comes. And that kind of light, or those kinds of opportunities are only found in people that have been in real darkness. And it's in real darkness they found that light. Gotta stop here. All right. We'll continue. So we'll do meditative prayers on Monday, 6:15 a.m. And then we now have oral teachings on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Okay? F.F. Butler says this. Many people come out and say that they meet a minister and say, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. But what they should ask first is, teach me that I may cooperate. So teaching is very important. It's only teaching that can bring stability into people's lives, that can cause people, the reproduction of it. Okay? So please don't forget this. You're going through something. That's why the Bible says, with patience, we wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmity. That's why if you go on, it says, we are counted as sheep for slaughter. Nay, no. All these things, we are more than conquerors. It's still that same Romans 8, where it talks about the Holy Spirit with groanings that cannot be uttered. It says, who shall lay anything against the charge of God's elect? Who is he that condemneth? You can see that there's a warfare that is going on. Don't think that is just, there's a warfare going on in the spirit realm. And you have to take out time to pray through repeatedly over the thing. What happens to Christians is that what Jesus said, their hearts get overcharged. They eat, they drink. That's why back then in those days, the patriarchs, they hit. Show me anybody. Look, just open the Bible to the patriarchs. Anytime they got in some crisis, they didn't fast. Just show me that they didn't fast. They just were saying, I'm a world overcomer. I'm a world overcomer. They didn't fast. That Jesus didn't fast. Are you following me? That Jesus didn't fast. Okay. Now, and I put out this challenge. Anybody that is teaching in Christed realities and saying, I'm a world overcomer, woman, I've received it, I'm not like that, I've received it, I have received it, it has been given to me, and all of that, as though we haven't read those books, as though we don't understand what they're saying, you watch them. They never, and don't talk about the other side, which is the travail. In other words, the book of Romans is the most legal document in the Bible. He argued the case of salvation from Romans chapter 3 and broke it down, the introduction of the law brought the knowledge of sin, the law could not save, Jesus shed his blood, he now talked about shed, then he now went into the argument, should we continue in sin that grace might abound? He said no. He talked about identification truths, he talked about substitution, all right, from Romans 3 to 5, he talked about identification, then he now talked about, now here is the real deal now. You can now have that struggle in Romans chapter 7, haven't taught all of this, this is what you do, and then this is how you handle and become an overcomer in Romans chapter 8. He put all that inside the letter and sent it to them. Now you look at anybody that doesn't talk about that vital side of fasting, prayer, the real, you see that what they know will not be reflected in their lives. They won't have commensurable results to show the depth of knowledge they have. Just check it. I challenge you, just check it. Anybody is teaching or not, but we're not overcoming, we've already overcome. We're not doing it. Just check it. All right. God bless you all.